I'm pulling up my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today I'm going to talk all about the pre-release for Unstable. So basically, there's a group called Loading Ready Run. They are a comedy group out of Victoria and up in Canada. And they do a lot of comedy things, and they do a lot of game streaming and things. And anyway, we have a good relationship with them. They love magic. And so they occasionally make videos for us. And then one of the things they do is they put on an event called a pre-release. So what a pre-release is before the pre-release of an event, they have, usually what they'll do is they'll bring in four guests. One of the guests is usually a Wizards employee, and the other three are other related people that do magic-type things. And then the four of the Loading Ready Run people play, and then there's a tournament. And traditionally, in a pre-release, they use the actual pre-release kits. They use the actual things you would play at the pre-releases. And what they're doing is they're playing with the pre-release cards before the pre-release. It's after the cards are all known, so there's no secrets there. But anyway, so they decided that they wanted to run a pre-release for Unstable. Now, I've never done a pre-release, but if ever I was going to do one, it was going to be for Unstable. So I said I would do Unstable. Now, the pre-release for Unstable was neither pre nor pre-release. It happened the day the set came out, so it wasn't before. And there's no pre-release for supplemental products. So Unstable didn't have a pre-release. It had a release event, but not a pre-release. So we kind of were, like I said, neither pre nor pre-release. But we called it the pre-release because Unstable is the kind of set that just does weird and wacky things like that. So the idea was they invited it up. So the four guests were me, Wedge from the Mana Source, and Maria and Megan from Magic the Amateuring. And then there were four Loading Ready Run people. It was Graham and Kathleen and Cam and Adam. So anyway, I was invited up. It's the first time I don't travel as much, so it's not something I had done before. But I'd say, okay, for Unstable, I was going to do a little extra traveling. So I went down to Los Angeles and shot the Game Nights episode with Josh and Jimmy, and I went up to Victoria. So what happened was, on a Thursday morning, both Trick Jarrett and I, Trick's the community manager, we both caught a plane for Victoria, Canada. Went through customs and everything because went to another country, to Canada. And so we were met by James. James is the producer that organizes the pre-release. And we got brought to their, I think they call it the Moon Base, which is their studio where they shoot everything. Basically, they do a whole bunch of different podcasts and videos, and they do a lot of game streaming, and there's multiple settings set up so they can do that. And there was one big studio where we shot the games, where we actually shot the tournament itself. So here's how it worked is we showed up on Thursday, and then right away, once we got there, I think Trick and I were the last ones to show up, we did a draft. We started with me walking everybody through, so I gave a little tip to everybody about how the draft worked and just some basic ideas about the strategies and walked through the mechanics, made sure that everybody understood. Now, there were two judges there, Sergey and I'm looking at the person's name, I apologize. There were two people that were there judging. Now, obviously, I consulted as the unrules manager. When things came up that they weren't quite sure about, I would, or if they ruled something that was slightly off, I would jump in and say something. Although they did an excellent job. They did a really good job. Okay, so what happens is we get there Thursday. The first thing we do is we do a draft. And then what we did is we filmed the draft. With a couple cameras, they filmed the draft so that Graham, late into the night, was editing so that before we started the pre-release, we could show the draft. Now, this is the first time we had done a draft, or they had done a draft for the pre-release. Normally, it's a sealed because they're doing a pre-release. But when we designed Unstable, we had a choice sort of to make it optimized for a sealed play or optimized for draft. And what we realized was there was no pre-release. Not a lot of sealed play was going to happen. A lot of draft was going to happen. So we chose to optimize it for draft rather than optimize it for sealed. So we had recommended to them that it would be better if we did a draft. So they, for the very first time ever, they did a draft. And what happened was they shot the draft happening, and then they talked to everybody, and then they edited together a little bit. They're sort of explaining the draft. The big sort of story of the draft was the opening of a Earl of Squirrel. So I had gone black-green with the intent of trying to draft a squirrel deck. Black and green are the squirrel colors. It's kind of hard to draft a squirrel deck just because the ass fan of squirrel stuff isn't quite high enough. It's more a strategy that if you open up something, you're supposed to go into. But I was just being adventurous to see if I could get there. And an Earl of Squirrels opened up three to my right. Kathleen opened up an Earl of Squirrel, passed it to Wedge, who passed it to Maria, who passed it to Adam. And then Adam took it, so I didn't get it. I ended up getting a Slaying Mantis, which I'll talk about in a second. Okay, so the way it worked was we did a draft. I ended up with a black-green deck. I took out the squirrel part of it because I didn't get enough for the squirrel part. So instead of having a really thematic, goofy deck, I had like a good, solid, full of, you know, strong cards deck, which was not what I necessarily had set out to do. I set out to be more thematic, but my theme didn't quite pay off. And I ended up didn't having a good deck. So what happened was there are eight of us, and so during the day there were eight matches. The idea is the first four matches are the guests playing against each other. So I played against Maria, and Wedge played against Megan, and then Loading Ready Run plays against themselves. So Adam played against Graham, and Kathleen played against Cam. And then in the next two, we mix it up. Then each one of us played against one of them. So if I can remember this correctly, Maria played against Adam. I played against Graham. Megan played against Kathleen. And then Wedge played against Cam. That's right. Okay, so I'm going to walk through all the games as far as I know them. I'll give the overview of each of the matches. Okay, so... Oh, real quickly, by the way. So the way it worked is there's a studio, the Moon Bay Studio. There's one big studio where we shot everything. And one of the cool things they had done is there's a play mat and you play on. And then if you put the cards in the center, there's a certain space to put them. There's a card reader that will read the card and then put it up on the screen. So the idea was when you're playing, when you played a card, you would put it into the card reader, have it read, and then you can play. And they came up with the cool thing where if you put a host and then put an augment, it would show the graphic of the host on the augment, which is really cool. So the first matchup was Graham versus Adam. So Graham started and ended the day. So his match was the very first match and the very last match. I'm missing good stuff. Before we get to that, one of the things we did is first we did an introduction. So to understand the introduction, let me first walk back a little bit. So for those that know the story, when I ran, we did a pre-release for Unglued at Gen Con, and I had judged it dressed as a chicken. And then we did a pre-release for Unhinged at SoCal Gen Con. It doesn't exist anymore, but for a while, Gen Con had a Southern California version, a West Coast version. And I judged that dressed as a donkey because it was donkey themed. So when there was no pre-release for this, although obviously there was a pre-release, they wrote to me and said that they wanted, that if I was willing to wear a squirrel costume, they would purchase a squirrel costume. So I said, of course I'd be willing to wear a squirrel costume. I said I didn't want to wear it all day long because I had some different things I wanted to wear. But for the opening, Graham and I were doing the opening, and I dressed as a squirrel for the opening. And we had a lot of talks about how exactly best to do it. Is there some joke there? And we decided in the end it was funnier not to make reference to it, just do the opening as if we were just doing it, but I was dressed as a squirrel. And the squirrel costume, by the way, I don't know if you could appreciate it. The tail wasn't this, we had to inflate this balloon, and then the tail stuck up, and then I had two acorns. It was actually a cute costume. So anyway, we did the opening. Graham and I said hello. And then there was a little tape from the judges sort of walking through the mechanics so the audience could understand the mechanics. And then we got into the first round. So there were eight rounds during the day. The plan was to try to finish. I think we had reservations for dinner at 8 o'clock, which we would not make. The matches ran a little long. But they were a lot of fun matches. So first it was Graham versus Adam. Graham was playing, Graham was playing a red deck. Was it red and black? I think Graham was red and black. Oh, no, he was red and white. Graham was red and white. And Adam, what was Adam playing? I'm not remember all these decks. Adam was playing white and green. Adam was playing white and green. That's right, because he took my Earl Squirrel. And so anyway, it was white-green versus red-black. Probably the most interesting thing in that game is there's a card called The Countdown is at One, which makes you play a sub-game at one life. And I believe there's a number of sub-games played between Adam and Graham. I think Graham won most of the sub-games, if I remember correctly. And I think Graham beat Adam. I apologize if I get that wrong. I think Graham beat Adam. So next up, oh, by the way, the way it works is you have two people playing each other. So everybody plays twice. And then one round you are, I'm not sure what the term was, but there's somebody at the table who's sort of just talking and making sure people put their cards in the center and just sort of being, I don't know, a facilitator. I'm not sure what the word is. Maybe I'll call it facilitator. You were a facilitator for, there's eight people. So each round, you played in two rounds and you were a facilitator for one round. So I don't remember for each round who the facilitator was. When I was, I'll let you know. So round two was me versus Maria. So Maria had a red-blue deck, very contraption deck. And I was playing black-green, my squirrel-less black-green deck. And I just kind of had a good stuff black-green deck. But my name of my deck, I called it, what was the name of my deck? It was called Ninja Mantis Monstrosity, because my three really good cards were Masterful Ninja, which is what I opened. So Masterful Ninja is a card that you can reveal from your hand. It's a 1/1 haste creature, a ninja. And if you reveal it from your hand, it's both in play and on the battlefield until end of turn. And then there was Slaying Mantis, which is a 6/6 creature for 4 green-green. Masterful Ninja, I think, costs 2 and a black, but you never cast it, so its cost is kind of irrelevant. Slaying Mantis costs 6 mana, 4 green-green. It's a 6/6. When you play it, you toss it from a distance of 3 feet, and then any creatures it lands on that are controlled by another player, it fights. So if you guys remember when I went down to game nights, Josh had a Slaying Mantis in his deck. And there was a big dramatic moment where he, you know, I was ahead, and he's like, oh, can he come back? And he flicked it, and we took like minutes setting it up, and he missed the table. So my goal with Masterful Ninja, by the way, was to hit the table. So I actually would practice with it. I practiced with it, tossing it. As we will see, my practice paid off some. Monstrosity is Modular Monstrosity, which is 7 mana. How big is it? It's a 4/4, 5/5. Maybe it's a 5/5. Anyway, it's a 4/4. Maybe it's a 4/4. It is a creature that whenever your opponent casts a spell, you have 5 seconds to name a keyword that's shown up on a creature that hasn't been named yet that day by you. And then it gets that ability. Interestingly, I never actually the entire day got the Modular Monstrosity out. So 3 times now, of the 5 drafts on the stable I've done, I've gotten Modular Monstrosity in 3 of my drafts. And I've yet to get... I got it out. I just did a draft. Maybe at some point I'll do a podcast. I did a trip to a local game store for Unstable. And I did get Modular Monstrosity. I never got it out. Or, I'm sorry. I got it out once, but they never cast a spell. I won before I even got to name anything for it. It did get stolen from me once. So the one time it got something on it is when it got stolen from me, from my graveyard. Okay. Back to Victoria and Loading Ready Run. So it was me versus Maria. So there was some fun stuff going on. She had a Blurry Beeble, which is something that if your opponent is not wearing glasses, it has unblockability. And I had secretly bought my glasses and pretended like I had forgotten my glasses. So I was able to surprise her. So we had a fun matchup. I know I won. I beat her 2-1. I think I won the first game, she won the second game, and I won the third game. I did get Slaying Mantis out, Although I hit the table, but I didn't hit anything. And we had a fun game. Maria had a very good deck. She had a lot of contraptions, and it was a fun matchup. We had a real good time. So the next matchup was Was it Kathleen versus Cam? I think it might have been Kathleen versus Cam. And I know Kathleen won that. I don't know a lot of, Kathleen was playing black red, and Cam was playing blue. I think mono blue. Or blue splash something. He loves playing blue. And I know they had a fun game. My memory of some of these, the ones that I was involved in, I have better memories than the ones that I just watched. But anyway, they had a fun game and Kathleen won. Then the fourth matchup was Wedge versus Megan. So both Maria and Megan dressed up as squirrels. Megan specifically dressed up as the squirrel dealer. She ended up drafting four squirrels. Wedge was playing, white-green or white-blue? He was playing a deck that he splashed Spike in. So he had no black. So, like, every time he got Spike, you know, there's Phyrexian mana in Spike, so you don't have to have black to play Spike. It just costs a lot of life. And I know against Megan, he went and got a Jitte, I think. Umezawa was Jitte. But she actually beat him. She actually managed to win with the Jitte out, which is a tough task, but she did it. He had spent so much life to get the Spike and get the Jitte. So they had a fun match, and Megan beat Wedge. Then the fifth matchup was, I think, Adam versus Maria, and I was the facilitator. Like I said, Adam's white-green, Maria's red-blue. Maria ended up winning that. But once again, I think it went to three games. I think it was a full match. But that was... So you'll notice, by the way, the guests, we faced off against each other, so we had to go one-on-one by definition of facing off against each other. But as we get into the guest versus loading ready run, well, this was the first step, and we won. Maria won. Then the sixth one, I think, was Wedge versus Cam, and this had probably the game of the whole tournament. So once again, Wedge is playing Spike, and it turns out that somebody had. So Spike, for those that don't know, is a legendary creature card that lets you go get cards that have been banned or restricted in any constructed format, official constructed format, and somebody had sent Loading Ready Run at some point, a Scheherazade, they have a set that they put things on, and they'd set one, and so on their set was just a Scheherazade. So once Wedge knew this, he used Spike to get the Scheherazade. Then he played a card called Better Than One, which is the two-headed giant card, where you bring somebody in and make somebody, you give them some of your permanents and some of your library and some of the cards in your hand, and then they become your two-headed giant. So you're not playing a two-headed giant game. So Wedge had asked me if I would be his two-headed giant. I said, of course I would. So I came and joined him, and then he cast Scheherazade. But since we were there in the main game, he and I together as a two-headed giant went into the sub-game. So I believe for the first time ever, we played a half two-headed giant sub-game. And that is pretty good because you get to draw 14 cards because each one you get to start with your hand. We both had small libraries, so we didn't have tons of time to win. And I believe the way it works is if you lose Scheherazade, you lose half your life. And since there were two of us, we would have each lost half, which meant losing the sub-game meant we would have lost the whole thing, the main game. But we did get to draw 14 cards. And the real restriction was not couldn't we win, was could we win in the allotted time of the decks, because our decks were small, because we were playing with the decks that weren't in the main game. So we had something like 10 turns to beat him. Luckily, we got really good cards, played things out, managed to win, and we won. All this, by the way, all the games I'm talking about are viewable. Loading Red and Run has a thing on YouTube you can watch. I think we put one of the games up on our website, the Wedge versus Cam game. So the next match was Megan versus Kathleen. The highlight of that match was Megan has squirrel dealers, four squirrel dealers. And the way squirrel dealers work is you have to ask somebody, do you like squirrels? And if they say yes, you get a squirrel token in addition to your squirrel dealer. And so I told Megan early on that I, as a champion of squirrels, if someone asked me if I like squirrels, I would always say that I like squirrels. But she's playing Kathleen, and Kathleen says something like, hey, I forgot his name, but there's somebody who won the Letterman Arena people that wasn't playing that day. Ben, I think was the name. He goes, oh, you know, Ben hasn't been on camera yet. Why don't we ask Ben? And Megan's like, okay, sure, let's go get Ben. Hey, Ben, do you like squirrels? He goes, no, in fact, I hate squirrels. Kathleen had known that Ben did like squirrels, so she had tricked Megan into calling Ben to ask, and so she didn't get squirrels. So next time in the game when she needed squirrels, she called me, and I didn't dress up in the full costume because I didn't have time, but I put on the hat and the gloves and brought the acorn. So she asked me. I said I did, in fact, like squirrels. I said I loved squirrels, which is like plus, plus, plus. And so she got a squirrel. And then Megan went on to win. So Wedge beat Cam. Megan beat Kathleen. You'll see a trend here of the guests beating the L5R people. So the final matchup was between me and Graham. So once again, Graham was playing red-white. I was playing black-green. A couple interesting things happened. One is I got to throw my sling mantis three times. First time, I got it on the table, but not a particularly good throw. Second time, I got it on the table, and I missed millimeters. I almost hit his creatures. And then what happened was he sent it to jail, because it is a 6-6 creature. And then on the next turn, I rolled double, like, ones or something. I got it out. I tossed it again, and then I hit two of his three creatures. So my slaying mantis was effective. The other thing that was great is we played a bunch of sub-games. I think what happened is I managed to win the first game, even though I lost the sub-game in the first game, but I managed to win anyway. The second game, I think I won the sub-game. Oh, right. Or was that the third game? The second one, I don't know, maybe we didn't have a sub-game in the second one. The second one, I managed to get a lot of things out, but he just was enough ahead that I made a valiant effort. I was not able to win the second game. And then the third game, I think this is where this happened. Maybe this is the second game. We had a sub-game where, once again, you draw your hand, and then you're playing at one. And so I opened up my hand, and I had Masterful Ninja, which is a 1-1 haste creature. And so on my turn, Graham went first, because since it's his card, he goes first. Then I just had to reveal it from my hand, attack with it, and I win the sub-game. Maybe I won the second sub-game. Maybe I won the second sub-game, but I didn't win the overall. I won the sub-game, but I didn't win the overall game. So it came down to the third game. That's the game that I had the Slaying Mantis that I managed to beat him with. I think that's the second game. Anyway, I managed to beat him. I got a lot of cards out, and I was triumphant in my third game. So I was triumphant. So if you look over the record of the day... Megan and I had the perfect records of 2-0. Although I joked with Megan that I went 2.5-0 since I was in the game with Wedge. Maria and Wedge went 1-1, losing to Megan and I. And then I guess Kathleen had won a game, and Graham had won a game, and then I think Cam and Adam had gone 0-2. So anyway, so what I didn't mention, so the night before, on Thursday, what had happened was we had filmed the draft, and then we went out to eat at this pierogi place that was really good. I like pierogies. They're kind of a Polish, like dough with stuff inside. The main pierogies are potato and cheese, but you can get meat and other things in them. I had the potato ones, which were really good. Yummy yum. Anyway, so we had the pierogies, and then afterwards we drafted Thursday night before Friday was the show. And so we drafted Thursday night, and I drafted a white-blue deck. I had four squids. I was trying to mill people out, but Maria, who was to my right, kept taking all the augment card, so I wasn't able to quite do my thing. I did also get a handy-dandy clone machine, and I managed in one game to have both Wedge and Maria, as well as myself, be all my tokens. But I lost to Megan and I lost to Maria, so I was not at all victorious that night. But anyway, we had fun doing a draft the night before. Friday, so we did the whole show all day Friday. Oh, the last thing we did is we said goodbye, and then there's this thing where they read off, people get to up subscriptions and stuff during it, and we read off all the people that did subscriptions, and a whole bunch of people did. So we were sitting around for like half an hour. But the way it works is we rotate around congratulating people, and then if they people can write a little sentence, and we read it off. And somebody really wanted me to say the word butts on the internet, so I did. Anyway, after that, we went out to dinner. It was a burger place. It was very good. Although we got to dinner late. We had reservations for 8 and ended up probably getting there like 9:30. It was definitely a long show day. Although a good show day. It was a lot of fun. On Saturday, I had a flight like at 1, but I did 3 podcasts before that. So first I did, I joined Megan and Maria on Magic the Amateuring, where we talked all about Unstable, and it was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, there's both a podcast version and a video version of it. There's an audio version and a video version. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. We spoiled some movies. It was a blast. Maria and Megan are a lot of fun. I had a great time doing the podcast with them. We played what do they call it? They have a name for it. Flavor Text Theater or something. We did some Mad Libs. We pitched some movies. I talked all about strategy of Unstable. It was a lot of fun. Then the second thing I did was I did an interview with Graham, where it was just a sit-down interview, about 45 minutes maybe, where he asked me questions and I talked all about Unstable and the design of Unstable. And it's actually one of the more in-depth interviews I've done about Unstable. And he asked a lot of interesting questions. I talked a lot about, you know, some of the business side of things and how we did things and why we designed things. And I answered some questions that I really haven't answered anywhere else. So, once again, all the stuff I'm talking about is online. You can go see the Magic Amateuring. That's online. It's on YouTube, I believe. Same with the interview I did with Graham. And then the final thing I did with Graham is he does a podcast called Tap, Tap, Concede, where I think they open up booster packs and talk about the cards. So we opened up an unhinged pack, unglued pack, and then an unhinged pack, and then an unstable pack. The problem was I literally had to go to the airport, so I think the whole podcast was only half an hour. I talked fast, though, as I always do. So what we did is we opened up the unglued pack, which had 10 cards. I talked about every card in the unglued pack. We opened up an unhinged pack, which is 15 cards. I talked about every card in the unhinged pack. And then we opened up the unstable pack, and I picked one card and talked about that card. So it's just a lot of me telling stories about unglued, unhinged, and unstable. So if you like me telling unstories, you might want to listen to the Tap Tap Concede, which had Graham and Kathleen were on it. I did my 3 podcasts, or I did 2 podcasts and an interview. I guess the interview wasn't technically a podcast. And then I had to get off to the airport. So Trick and I had to get a ride home. Turns out, by the way, when we got to the airport, but we didn't know this until we got to the airport, our flight got delayed. So I could have done a longer, had I realized, but we, I don't know when they delayed it. They might not have delayed it after we left anyway, but anyway. And that, my friends, was my trip. So I'm trying to think of any things to sum up. Almost at work. We're doing a time. It's almost 30 minutes. It was a really fun time. I want to thank everybody involved. I'd met Megan and Maria before, at PAX. I met Wedge briefly at, he had come to HasCon, and then I'd met, Graham and Kathleen. They had done some writing on, one of the PAX shows we did, the one for Rise of the Eldrazi. Battle for Zendikar. I interacted with Graham a couple times before. So it was fun. I think I'd not met Cameron Adam before, I don't believe, or if I met them, it'd been really briefly. And James also, who was producing the whole thing. The whole LLR crew was awesome. The setup was awesome. The facilities were awesome. the restaurants they took us out to were awesome. We also, Friday morning before we began, the way it works is we have a really long day. So what they do is they took us out to breakfast at a nearby place that has a really good breakfast. And then afterward, they take us out to dinner. I think during the day, they brought some pizza in, so we had a little bit to eat, although I didn't eat too much of the pizza just because I was about to go on. But anyway, I had an awesome time. It was a lot of fun. I don't travel all that much, but I said to them maybe I would try to, again, at some point, make my way up to Victoria. But anyway, if you have not seen the show, everything I'm talking about is there. You can watch me play Maria, or me play Graham, or me and Wedge play Cam. Or any of the matches I talked about, they're all there. You can see the interviews. You can see all the podcasts I did. Everything I'm talking about is all online. So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed. They were awesome hosts. I've never been to Victoria before. That was cool. So anyway, it was a great, grand time. A little follow-up for those, since I talk a lot about Unstable. Unstable has been a big hit. One of the things I said going into this was, I really begged people, I said, please, 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 if you care about Unstable, it's important that you actually purchase Unstable. Not that I recommend you stop, by the way. The better Unstable does, just the more resources I get. I am confident, it hasn't been greenlit or anything, but I now believe that Unstable has done well enough that there's a good chance that a fourth one will exist. So you guys have done awesome. Keep buying Unstable, though, because the better Unstable does, the more resources I will get next time I do one. And so I'm hoping that if people see it as just being a gangbuster thing, that maybe next time I can ask for one or two more things than I did this time. So, but anyway, thanks for everybody for playing and for all the positivity around it. The pre-release was a load of fun, and I had a great time. So thanks to everybody. Thank you to Marie and Megan, and to Wedge, and to Graham and Kathleen and Cam and Adam and James, and to everybody up in Victoria. It was an awesome time. So thank you, everybody. But I'm now at work. So we all know what that means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.